And welcome to the special edition of The Edge Show. It's been an exciting few weeks with us at Microsoft with the release of Windows 8, Windows Server 2012, the Build Conference, Surface, and a whole lot more. This week is a special edition of The Edge Show, just dedicated to give you the biggest news and the biggest highlights from the past couple of weeks.
And we have hardware.
That's right, they're floating behind us.
Shh, magic. But first of all, let's talk about Windows 8 general availability. Just came out at the end of October. You can download it, you can purchase it from retail stores. And if you already have a copy of Windows XP, Windows Vista, or Windows 7, you can upgrade it for just $40 US price. Now, if you just purchased a copy of Windows 7 as well, you can upgrade it for just $15. So a great incentive to move to Windows 8 now. So go download it, go try the evals, and check it out with some great hardware. We're going to show you shortly.
Tons of stuff new, right? Here we have here. One of those was Build Conference, hence the focus of this whole thing here.
Well, it was on campus this year.
Yeah.
It wasn't elsewhere. We had a big party here where all the devs are.
That's right. Now, we will give you the IT Pro specific view on the Build Conference because we know you're all IT pros out there. We had the conference sold out in under an hour with over 2,500 attendees from more than 50 countries. And over half of those people, that was their first time. So it was kind of cool to see a lot of new people being able to show up at the event. And we had some interesting stats. I won't overwhelm you with tons of them, but one that I like, being the devices guy, you know, we have more to show you. 8,000 people connected out of those limited attendees. So it just kind of proves the point of lots of people carrying multiple devices and that whole scenario there. But speaking of devices, there's this whole day one keynote thing that was going on.
Well, I was involved with the keynote from a what they call a demo machine wrangling position. Now, if they had known my prior history before doing this, they probably would not have given me that particular role because I'm known for breaking things. But successfully, at least until after the show, no devices have been harmed in the manufacturing of the Build Conference that I'm aware of. The approach that we took with this actually was kind of interesting. I got to sit in and watch Steve Ballmer practice and rehearse for his session, which was awesome. He did a very interesting thing. He started off with the largest of the screen definition sizes that we have, which is the Perceptive Pixel 80, 82, 84, I forget the exact number. It's 80 plus inches of pure 100-point touch point capabilities screens. All the way down to the smallest device, which would have been the Acer Aspire or the Windows Phone 8 device. And he basically went through on a personal aspect and basically showed what he liked about each device, what was cool you could do with it, what was new with Windows 8, and he even used his own live ID.
And how did that work out?
Well, it's kind of scary because being a guy that has to wrangle the machines and you have the CEO's live ID in front of you that it's there, like you don't want to touch it. The funny thing is, though, at the end of the conference, as we're repurposing the machines, we had to make sure that those live IDs were obviously deleted. And so I get to say that I now stood next to the guy that actually deleted Steve's live ID, hoping that nothing replicated across the whole way.
Right.
But we decided to bring some of this hardware out to be able to show you guys because, you know, we're all hardware guys. We like to see what some of the hardware is. And we're going to start down at the far end over there with Mr. Snow. We each got to pick what we like.
Yeah, we did. We did. But I know I was only supposed to pick one, but I picked two. Right? Of course.
Overachiever Joey.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I go. First off, this one is actually one of my faves. This is the Asus UX31A. This thing is just super thin, super sexy. Backlit keyboard, very popular thing. Loving this one. But you know what? I got to say, out of all of the devices that that I've used over the week, now one of the cool things that I got to do at Build is I got to stand around and I got to Vanna White these. I got to demo these to a lot of our attendees. See? Look at that. You like that? That's pretty good, right?
Does it come with a car?
Does it come with a car? No, just a computer.
Yeah, it's good.
This is the Acer Aspire S7. Now, there are two models. This happens to be the small version, the 11-inch screen version. Double layers of Gorilla Glass. Love this. The screen is super bright, super, super duper responsive. Absolutely love this. So I prefer the large version, which is actually a 13-inch screen. Comes in an i3, i5, or an i7 model.
Yep.
So these are full-on Windows Pro devices. These happen. You didn't see this.
No, they have to be friendly. Still under my name. I have to have. What I will say, though, is that particular device, Ballmer had on stage with Visual Studio on it as an example of one of the high-end Windows 8 devices that you could actually run Visual Studio on, be extremely productive, and also in a very light and svelte
Visual Studio
environment.
And the thing that I like, of course, is Klein Hyper-V. So You want touch, you want Hyper-V, you got it all there in a PowerPoint.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. In a nice compact package there.
Now we're going to have Simon show you Downward Facing Dog.
Let's see it, Simon.
So the next one I have here is the Yoga. I'm with the Yoga. It's one of the new ones from Lenovo, one of their Ultrabooks. Actually has the ability, check this out. Is it going to break?
No! Oh,
rotates.
See, I could totally see myself picking up the wrong laptop and doing that.
Correct.
And ripping it right off.
So this is the new Yoga. It gives you the ability to bend it forwards, bend it backwards, and position it in different ways. So you have kind of the traditional tent, the tablet, and a lot of different ways that you could go manage this as both kind of the conventional notepad, laptop, as well as your tablet. Multi-touch point.
Smart enough to know the keyboard's disabled on the bottom, I'm guessing. Yeah.
That's the feature, absolutely, yeah. we need. And so with this, it's actually got a raised back end, so you can place it flat. It doesn't push any keys, so it keeps the keyboard disabled. Nice. Gives you the ability to kind of multitask and flip between the tablet and your traditional laptop.
Yeah, very cool stuff. This also in these are all Intel line, by the way. These are all the Pro side.
Oh yeah. Then there's one thing that I think is missing here because I see an Acer, an Asus, and a Lenovo, but I think there's one new hardware manufacturer that's out these days.
It's the largest software manufacturer in the world made one too.
Oh, I hear. Oh, maybe this is it right here. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. It's called the Surface. Oh yes. We launched this October 26th. Surface RT is now available. You may have seen the commercials. I start seeing, you know, friends and family, they're out there and they're like, oh, I saw that commercial. So I'm showing this off and they're like, whoa, that's so cool, holding it by the keyboard.
Can I try that?
Yeah, can I do it?
That's the right person you want to do with that.
Yeah, people kind of freak out when I do that. They're like, oh, is it going to drop, you know? And I shake it over my couch, but I still kind of, there's that piece of me that I'm not so
sure.
Yeah,
never let
go. Yeah, but anyway.
I see you've glammed it up with the blue keyboard as
that's
well.
That's right.
It comes with a block.
That's right. So there's two types of keyboards, right? There's the touch one, which comes in a variety of colors. It's extremely thin. Don't believe what anybody else says. It's very easy to use right off the get-go. You know, I had my wife use it right off the start. She starts typing. There was no learning curve. So I don't know what people are talking about there, but but it works out really well. It allows you to both options, and of course, you've got the fun kickstand there. Extremely light, portable, got your USB ports. And then let me show you the other type cover. Yes. So how do you make a decision, right, as an IT guy? We have the second cover, which comes in just black, but it's type. So if you like that tactile feedback and whatnot, then we have a separate keyboard that also attaches here. And it makes it a little bit thicker.
It's minimal,
just
though.
Minimal, but it's minimal.
You can't see it from here, but it's definitely minimal.
It's just a tad bit more in price, but not by too much.
Yeah, I can tell you that the touch keyboard is a lot easier to clean up when maple syrup spills on it. I can tell you that from experience at breakfast.
How about bacon grease?
No, I don't know about bacon grease, but maple syrup definitely cleans up off it with a little bit of a hot rag. But I brought along my favorite touch device. It's a little portable device that we have right here, which is our lovely Dell XPS.
Now, Rick, your idea of portable is a lot different than most
else. It's nice. It's touch. You can do what you need to inside the device. It's all good. In this case, we haven't set it up with wireless access here inside the environment. But you know what? It is still very, very sweet to be able to go off and do whatever it is that you like with your device. It's all in one. There we go. Get that guy back out again. My fingers are greasy. It's all in one. It is sweet, and I'm trying to get this one off of the inventory list so I can come back to my office.
What
the deal is, it's so light that it even floats.
Yes.
See that? See that? It's like you don't even have it.
It
just,
you got it.
It's suspended in air.
You got it.
Right.
So a couple of things, folks, everybody should make note. Most of these devices are Pro devices, meaning it runs all of your Windows 7 applications, and you have all the normal capabilities that you are used to having. However, the Surface that you showed, and there's actually a couple of other of my favorite devices that fall in that RT category, those really rely on you can't load your normal desktop applications. You've got to rely on the modern UI apps or the Windows Store applications.
Okay.
So a big difference there. Also the thing is battery life on these things. You'll typically see a longer battery life on these RT devices than you will with these Pro devices.
Now, one thing that Balmer mentioned, which is very interesting, is that the fact that most people are going to go out there and they can try it on existing hardware. Obviously, you can load Windows 8 on existing hardware. It can run on what they call the Windows 7 cloud. class type machines. Mm-hmm. These are all what they call Windows 8 class machines because they are touch enabled. They're fast, they're light, they're using the new, most of them are using the new Clover Tail, is that the Clover Trail?
The Clover Trail?
Yeah, but anyway, a lot of them have the new chipsets, the new processors that are in them from Intel. They get extra battery life, but again, it's not going to match up to what you get with the RT.
And what I will say that you know, when you're looking, Microsoft Store is a good place to look at because we have a lot of variety of manufacturers all in one place, and yep. we have the ones that are available for pre-order, so if you want to check out you know all the different options that are out there, that's a good place to start, I think.
Awesome. So the main part of our keynotes, there was really a theme at Build this year where we kind of talk about, all right, you've got devices and you've got services. So day one, talk about devices right? We talked about all these great new machines, the different form factors that you have. Day two really kind of focused on services, and particularly services around Windows Azure and the cloud. Also talked about Windows Server a little bit and the idea of the cloud OS. A couple of big things that really kind of popped out to me. The first one would be mobile services, Windows Azure mobile services. The ability, now I know, Simon, you do a little bit of dev tinkering on the side. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't stand too close to you. I'm afraid I'll break out in a rash when I'm around code. The ability to instantly bring up services for mobile devices, for apps, for games that you are building makes it very, very simple. There was a ton of coding going on in the day two keynote. Mm-hmm. The second piece was bringing media services to Windows Azure and being able to have, you know, everybody wants to have the video clip website, the video clip services in your applications. And then, again, the whole theme of this is being, let's connect all these devices with the underlying services that we have underneath it. One of the things that they also mentioned in there is Windows Azure Active Directory. And actually, it was kind of a broader theme of connecting back this true hybrid environment where mm-hmm. you're using Windows Azure services in the cloud along with connecting to back-end infrastructure running on-premises and then leveraging Windows Azure mm-hmm. Active Directory to kind of connect it all together, you know, between Office 365 on-premises and these devices. It was actually a really, really kind of cool keynote. Apart from all the code, that's just me. Unless it's PowerShell, I'm cool with PowerShell. Other code, it just makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, day one, it was like you could benefit from it, you know, even if you're not a dev. You know, just seeing the Windows 8 features and seeing how things connect, and just getting a vision of even how existing apps might work, or give you maybe ideas to pitch to your dev guy and how Windows 8 can maybe have an enterprise app for your organization to implement.
But it was really interesting just to watch and see how these new, particularly line of business applications, because that was really the focus, is these enterprise line of business applications and how they're going to connect up. So it's worth a watch.
Now, one thing we didn't mention from day one keynote, which I know that you're going to talk about next, is I didn't talk about Windows Phone, because Ballmer went from the largest to the smallest being the Phone Windows 8. That was also announced as a release on the Monday just before keynote.
Well, you happen to have one of those, right?
I was going to wait till you talk about it.
You brought it up, so let's see it here.
I happen to. I got my personal email on here. See if I can get this off of there.
Okay. Now, all right. There we go.
Hard to see, but this is one of the dev devices, which is an AT&T. This is an AT&T branded Nokia 920. Mm-hmm. I can definitely say pictures are gorgeous. Email is awesome. Threaded email was there before. Yep. And just the overall customization they did again. Ballmer used this as one of his devices. He also had the HTC device up there. And also he even had one of the really cool Samsung devices up there as well. I didn't get to touch that one. I can definitely say, I have a 900 before. This guy's a little bit heavier, a little bit larger, but only incrementally so. And then the HTC is actually very nice in your hand.
There's a lot of new form factors that are out. So we had the, if you want all of the details, there was a full announcement within the past week or so on the full details. So all Windows 8's full disclosure, devices are going to be coming out anytime now. Check with your local carrier. We've got a number of different carriers that are out. I will say one consumer-focused feature that I was really excited about, they had Jessica Alba on stage and Joe brought his kids out, was Kid Mode. Now, if you're an IT guy and you got a family, that is a big deal. I've had my phone reset, I don't know, maybe at least a few times.
I've had texts go off to wrong people that really should not have gone off.
Yeah, so Kid Mode's pretty cool. You know, you teach your kid to just swipe, and then they have the apps that are available that you've made to them, so they can kind of go off and play without having to worry about blowing up your phone. So.
You guys could set up a Kid Mode for Rick. on his device.
Well, you could.
Keep me safe.
We didn't want to say anything right here on camera.
That's why
right,
I don't have access to all my apps.
That's exactly right.
It's the new enterprise lockdown, kid mode. Give your employees
AKA
the phone.
AKA Rickster mode.
Yeah, there we go.
We have the last little bit of news that we have with this one here is obviously all the sessions were wonderfully encoded, recorded, put up onto the Channel 9 platform. I happened to be sitting in the room during a lot of the encoding and also during a lot of the Channel 9 live events that were going on in between. Lots of great interviews. But just go to channel9.msdn.com, look under the events for the build, although currently, right now, as of this recording, it was still as the main page, to be able to go off and find it. And I want to start off kicking off our favorite sessions to go see as IT pros. My first one is 3-052. It's Dynamic Access Control Extensibility, how to implement it and deploy it and to enable your apps for it. So that one there sounds really good. 3-052.
You got it.
I memorized it.
Yeah, well done.
Well, we will have links down below. Rick went the extra mile in doing the session code. I did not do that. I just said, hey, developing remote FX applications in Windows Server 2012. Now, when you look at the session and you go through it, it doesn't dig deep into code. It's really a good session for your IT pros to check out because we did show some new features like Link 2013 using remote effects and how that works, which we haven't talked about before even with previous tech heads because cool. Link is now out.
Yep.
So there's a lot of cool stuff showing you how remote effects can work and if you're doing app compat or you want to kind of, you know, have people work on any device, right? Or even, let's say, put regular Windows 7 apps on RT devices, right? This gives you maybe get the juices flowing, some ideas on that build session. So check that one out.
So for me, I'm a big infrastructure guy. So my favorite session was designing applications for high availability with Windows Server 2012.
Shocker, clustering session.
Well, that was just a coincidence, though, it's a cluster in there.
I'm surprised you don't know the session code number, either of you guys. Come on.
So essentially, this session looks at when we go to a large scale-out enterprise, you have multiple virtual machines for a service, multiple tiers. How do you really optimize that, provide the best resilience, highest availability throughout the stack for that application? So great session delivered by Eldon Christensen.
So for me, I kind of went with that whole line of business applications trend. There were two. One was building line of business applications, but I actually kind of really settled on session 3-123, which is securing Windows Store apps.
Did you write it down?
No, I didn't. Oh. It's all good. So 3-123, it's securing Windows Store apps. These are the new modern UI applications, how they are secure, how you can secure them, because that's one of the big questions I have as I'm out talking about Windows 8 is the security of these Windows Store applications and these internal line of business applications that we've got going on.
Cool.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're gonna call it a wrap. But you know, this was a special episode. We have weekly episodes giving you only maybe 3 or 4 minutes of news, along with 12-15 minutes of a technical episode amongst all of our 4 core areas. So stay tuned to the Edge Show, and we'll see you next time.
Next time.